And turn with me to Romans chapter 12. You probably note in the bulletin the title of the message, Be a Christian Peacemaker. Romans chapter 12, and our text is found in the words of verse 18. Paul is writing to the church at Rome. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Recently, I read these words of someone who said, the more I get to know people, the more I love my dog. Now, that person must have had a bad experience with some person. Or listen to this. To live up above with those that we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live here below with those that we know, well, that's another story. Now, these two sayings lead right into the subject that we have this morning on human relationships and how to get along with people. I read an editorial about 2 months ago, and it was telling and stating why missionaries do not go back for a second term. And you know what the author said in that article? It wasn't because of health, and it wasn't because they were worn out. It was because they had a difficult time in getting along with people. Think of it, missionaries. Those who are on the front, the firing lines, don't return because of human relationships. Now, as we come to this section of the book of Romans, we find the Apostle Paul moving his readers from theological issues to personal matters. And this first century apostle gives some pointed and practical guidelines as to how Christians are to get along with one another. You know, it's interesting that both the Apostle Paul and our Lord included this area of human relationships in the total message of the New Testament. And yet often it is never dealt with and never touched. As a matter of fact, when it comes to this practical phase of Christian living, let me ask you, when was the last time, if ever, you ever heard a sermon on the subject of human relationships among the people of the world and especially among those who make up the fellowship of the church? It's probably been a long time. And so it is our relationship with the larger world, with members of our own family, with other Christians that I want us now to think about. And I'd just like to offer some pragmatical advice as we find it here in the verses before us. And what Paul meant when he said there in the text, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. David read this morning the NIV, and that's a very interesting rendering. It puts it this way, if it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Now that leads me to my first point. And I want you to consider, first of all, what I'm going to call the calling that is imperative. And we find it in this verse. Listen again now to Paul's words. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, let it be noted that that little word you is emphatic both in position and in meaning. A more literal rendering could be, if possible, as regards to your side. In other words, this is what Paul is saying. If the peace is to be broken, let it be broken by the other person, not by you and not by me as a Christian. Now, this is the solemn responsibility of every Christian to maintain the peace with all men. And yet, how often this is not the case? I have known professing Christians who have been peace breakers instead of peacemakers. Listen, we are not called to be quarrelsome. We are not called to be disagreeable. We are not called to be unpleasant, offensive, or troublemakers. We are not called to see how much despondency we can spread and division that we can call. Just the opposite. Christian's obligation and his commission is to heal where there is a hurt, to mend where there is a break, and to bring harmony where there is havoc. So the calling of the redeemed of God, notice it, is to live peaceably with all men, especially with other believers within the fellowship of the church. Peaceful living is the duty with members of our family, with those with whom we are employed, with those people of the world, and especially with those who are of the household of faith. Here is the Christian's calling. And we must not take it lightly or haphazardly. We must fulfill it obediently and lovingly. Think of these words of Paul to young Timothy, found over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone. Now, that's a calling that Paul sets forth in clarity. That is the imperative of each and every one of us. And we ought to come to grips with that and live in the reality of that. Now, having said that, I want to point now to a second thought. Having looked at a call that is imperative is found in our text, I want you to notice now in these words a charge that might be impossible. And you need to get that down. Now, this thought is found in the words of Paul, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. The clause, if it be possible, could be rendered, if others will allow it. In other words, you might find out that in the imperative, that's our calling, you might not be able to fulfill it because the other party is not willing. But I want you to note, Dr. James Denny, the great theologian of past years, has a comment worth noting on these words when he said, over others' conduct we have no control, and we don't. I wish we did, but we don't. We don't know how others are going to respond when we come to them. We have no control. But the initiative in disturbing the peace is never to lie with the Christian. End of quote. And he was absolutely right. Living in harmony with others may not always be possible, but we as Christians must not be responsible for the lack of peace. The command, live peaceably with all men, notice now, is hedged about with two qualifying conditions which present some difficulty for those of us who know Christ. If it be possible. Or, if others will allow it, as much as lieth in you, as far as it depends upon you and me. Now, from these words of Paul, we know that there will be occasions in human relations when the believer's strong desire for peace will not be attainable, no matter what we try to do. And that's what Paul is saying here. But if disharmony and conflict comes about, the responsibility for such trouble must not be laid at the foot of the Christian. We must do everything in our power to bring harmony and reconciliation. Our response under all circumstances, according to Paul, must be that of the peacemaker. Now, if ever there was a time when it's almost impossible to live peaceably with the people of the world, it's today. And our nation is finding that that's a difficult situation. Look at North Korea. Look at Iran. And some of the problems that we face today. There are some countries with whom living in peaceful coexistence, it's impossible because of their warlike nature. And there are some people with whom living harmoniously will be impossible because of their hostility and their aggressive disposition and their know-it-all attitude. And I want to tell you, you might not even get to first base with them. But Paul sets forth the example we ought to try. There are times when the demands of relatives and friends and neighbors and church members and even leaders of nations become so unreasonable and irrational that living peaceably among them is not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. May I say at this moment in deep honestness and sincerity and seriousness, whenever there comes a conflict between the morals and the convictions of the believer or the compromising of the believer's loyalty, then the Christian must never trade their conscience for the sake of retaining peace with another person or another country or a political party. That should never be the case. You and I as Christians have been called to be faithful, first of all, to God. And our loyalty is to Him. And when there is a conflict, we need to take our stand and be faithful in our witness. Because we're living in a day today when we're being bombarded. And a lot of these issues go contrary to what the Bible has to say. And we need to be faithful. Case in point. When Hitler was peddling his hellish propaganda across Germany, there was a man by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer that would have nothing to do with it. Refusing to give allegiance to Hitler because of the integrity of his Christian life and faith, Bonhoeffer actively participated in the Protestant resistance movement underground. And his efforts to help a group of Jews to escape to Switzerland in the spring of 1943 led to his arrest and his imprisonment. In his hearing before the Gestapo, Bonhoeffer, defenseless and powerless, fortified only by the word of God, standing alone and yet not alone because God was with him, stood erect and unbroken before his tormentors. He refused to recant and defied the Gestapo machine by openly admitting that he was a Christian and he could not support Hitler's National Socialism. And when friends attempted to liberate him, he refused because he didn't want other inmates to be put to death or persecuted. He was never tried, but went to his death by hanging in April of 1945 at Flossenbürg concentration camp. And you read the story there, and he went as a martyr with calmness, steadfastness, and dignity, thus providing his resistance unto death, and that there are loyalties that go higher than any nation and any country, and he was faithful to his God. Bonhoeffer stated, "One act of obedience is better than 100 sermons." And so it is. He was faithful. You see, my friend, there are what we might call from time to time impossible situations. And it's just going to be beyond your strength to live peaceably with some people. But But our Christian conscience demands that we take our stand no matter what the cost and let the chips fall where they may. But having said that and realizing that, Paul clearly teaches that when arguments and squabbles and clashes spring up, they must not be incited or instigated by us. Let it come from the other side. We are to be peacemakers. We are to follow in the steps of our precious Lord. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, that can be done. And that can be accomplished. Someone has put it, we know there will be times of stress with people who come who must have their way, but we should always choose to love, to live at peace, and for them pray. If on the other hand, you have been the cause because of some wrong done, if you know this morning in your heart that you have intentionally wronged somebody, then it is your Christian duty to go to that relative, that friend, that brother in Christ, and make things right. Isn't this what Jesus had in mind when he said in Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Because the teaching of the Bible is that we are to live harmoniously, one with another, even though we know there will be some people where this imperative is not possible. I remember reading of a true life drama of a 73-year-old man named Elvin Strait. He was unable to drive an automobile, and he despised bus travel. But you know, he traveled 300 miles from Iowa to Wisconsin on riding a lawnmower, in order to make things right with a brother that had not spoken to him for 10 years. He decided it was time to end the silence, stop the hating, break down the wall of anger that his brother had built between them. And he took the initiative. Now that is precisely what Jesus is talking about, and this is what Paul is talking about, and he's encouraging us to follow if we are to heal the breach between us and another person. If you knew positively that that other party would be receptive and be open and acceptable to such an arrangement, then I beg of you, mend the break. Heal the breach. And do it. Now, if you are not certain, you pray about it. Because I want to tell you this morning, from years of experience, not everyone is willing to be open. I have found that to be true, and perhaps you have. But we have here a calling that is imperative, and a charge that might not be possible. But we ought to do everything in our power. And as Paul says, if the breach comes, let it come from the other person. We have done all that we can do. And then we leave it with the Lord. That's all that we can do. Now let's go on to just a third point here. And that is the conditions which are important. Now, it's interesting that right here in the surrounding verses, St. Paul lays down some conditions that's going to be helpful for you and I in meeting our Christian duty of having a peaceful spirit with people. And the first condition is this: live humbly. Live humbly. Notice Paul's words toward the end of verse 16. Be not wise in your own conceits. The New Living Translation renders it, don't think that you know it all. I want to tell you, if you're that type of a person, you think you know it all, you probably are going to have a difficult time getting along with anybody. Because you don't know it all, and neither do I. We don't know all of the facts to prejudge a situation. We don't know the condition, the shoes that person might happen to be in. So that's why we need to live humbly. Earlier in this verse, Paul writes, be of the same mind one toward another. Or as the New English Bible puts it, have equal regard for one another. Now, you and I need to be very careful that if you happen to be in a position of leadership in this church, in your job, in your neighborhood, your elevation to power does not become your very annihilation when it comes to your spiritual effectiveness with other people. You know, there are some people, just because they have a position of leadership or they're in some higher authority, they happen to be, that they have a tendency of looking down. And I want to tell you, you aren't going to get along with anybody. We need to humble ourselves. How often I have seen those in some kind of leadership permit the sin of self-importance to lead to their self-destruction. Now, lest we should be tempted to think of prideful notions of our own superiority, Paul puts a final warning here. Notice what he says in verse 16. Do not be conceited. Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher of the past, was right on target when he declared, nothing sets a person apart so much out of the devil's reach as humility. Humility. Being ready at any moment to humble ourselves when it comes to this matter of being a Christian peacemaker. I remember an incident which happened to me some years ago when I was serving as full-time pastor in a church in Lynn, Massachusetts. One day we received a telephone call. It was on a Sunday afternoon, informing us that there was a certain elderly lady of the church that was pouring out a little venom to another lady of the church about how she was snubbed by Eleanor as she passed through the receiving line at the end of the service. Now, I knew immediately the complaint was not true, because I stood right next to Eleanor as this accusing lady passed by. And if you really know Eleanor as I do, you know that she would never do such a thing. But there was a problem here that had to be dealt with, so the situation wouldn't deteriorate to the point of beyond healing. Now, though she was innocent of the situation, and though she could have confronted that person, she chose the path of the peacemaker and took the deeper and finer way, what we're talking about here, the way of Christian humility. We both went over to that lady's home that afternoon and apologized for any misunderstanding of the situation. Now, she was not the guilty party. And I admit there are some people that you could never do that with because it's impossible. And I've tried. But in this instance, exhibiting the mind of Christ not only salvaged a friendship, but later we learned that this lady had the beginning of a horrible disease that we knew nothing about. And by the very fact that we humbled ourselves and went, instead of hurting, came healing. And I'm sure many of you have done the same thing, but you know what I'm talking about. Paul comes along and he says, if you really want to get along with people, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Live humbly. Secondly, Paul mentions for living peacefully with people, forgive graciously. Forgive graciously. Give attention to his words in verse 14. He says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Now, where do you think he got that philosophy of life and living? He got it from Jesus. Or notice Paul's words in verse 17. Repent, recompense no man evil for evil. Or as the New Living Translation renders it, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Notice the words found in verse 19. Do not take revenge. Now, if those words of Paul say anything to us, it testifies to the fact that we must practice the Christian duty and discipline of a forgiving spirit. Someone has put it, and this is a beautiful definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness is surrendering my right to hurt you for hurting me. Isn't that wonderful? Forgiveness is surrendering my right to hurt you for hurting me. And another aspect of that forgiveness is when we forgive, we never bring it up in conversation, the act by which they need to be forgiven. It's gone. And that's what God does to us through Jesus Christ. It's washed away. It's under the blood. As far as the east is from the west. Cast into the depths of the sea. But many of us, because of our old Adamic nature, we have a tendency of just lodging it in the back of our mind, and it's always there. And it ought to be a total eradication. When Chuck Colson, the director of that great ministry, Prison Fellowship, was released from prison, he began to realize the awful lifestyle facing the released criminal who's trying to reconcile himself back into the community and live life again. And in one of his points, and in one of his pieces of literature, these words were found. Nothing is more Christian than forgiveness and demonstrating it, demonstrating trust in one who has fallen. And that's what Jesus did to Peter. He forgave him. He restored him. And that's what we have to be willing to do. There's a broken fellowship. We need to humbly look at that situation. We need to forgive graciously. We need to remember how much God has forgiven us. And then applying that same forgiveness, we forgive that person. Now, you and I cannot do it in our own strength. It's impossible. You can't. Neither can I. But through Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit, He makes it possible for us to live peaceably and to forgive and to love. And then finally, in closing this morning, live humbly, forgive graciously, and help faithfully. Can you think of any greater demonstration of love than trying to help the person who's trying to do you in and giving you all of that problem? Notice what Paul says in verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints. And the same idea is expressed in verses 14 and 15. Bless them who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. In other words, it seems like Paul doesn't want us to be so preoccupied with our own problems that we become insensitive to the needs of other people, especially those that are giving us a difficult time. Have you ever thought of how many people can be won over by love? Especially those that are on the borderline that you can win over. Now, I've already stated there's a charge that we must realize there are some occasions when it cannot be fulfilled. But I'm talking about those where you are willing to go halfway and they're willing to come halfway, and there's that mutual agreement and that friendship is restored in that fellowship. Can you imagine what love, the part that it plays in a situation like that? Live humbly, forgive graciously, help faithfully. These are the conditions that St. Paul lays down if we want to be a peacemaker among the people of the world, among members in our family, among those in the fellowship of the church, among the missionaries who work overseas, among the people of whom you work with during the week. That's the only way it's going to be done. And that's the way that it can be done. Wouldn't it be wonderful today on this Sunday if all of us made this covenant, Lord, by your help and through your strength, because I realize I can't do it on my own, I'm going to be a Christian peacemaker for the glory of God. Ever realizing there will be those that you might not be able to reach, but always realizing this, if the break comes, let it come from the other party and not from you and not from me. Shall we pray?